Good morning, Agape. How are you doing? It is such a pleasure to be with you this morning. I'm in my house here in Bangkok, up early. It's been extremely fruitful. I want to say fruitful, but it's been really busy these past couple weeks. And so up early today before I get some other stuff done. So if I look a little bit like I am still waiting for the coffee to kick in, it's because I am. And maybe some of you are doing the same. But anyways, let's get started. Let's pray. And then I want to give you a few updates and then also share some scriptures with you this morning. So, Father, we just thank you for this word that you've given us today, Lord. And I pray that it would be your word to Agape Family Church, Father. That it would be your words that you would like to speak into their hearts, Father. That the Holy Spirit would write on their hearts, would put in their minds the things and these scriptures that we're going to talk about today throughout the week ahead of us. We pray that your anointing would be upon us and that you would lead us, that you would bring us into a place of understanding and having correct perspective about how we're supposed to approach you in our daily life and in our daily walk. And we love you so much, Father. And we thank you for all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, some of you might know this, some of you might not know this. The past couple of weeks I've been traveling. I was able to travel into Cambodia. I went to the border of Laos and met with someone, but didn't go into Laos. And then was in Vietnam for 7 days. And what I was doing was just looking for other pastors, other churches that are there that are doing a good work, seeing if we can't partner with them in some way to do church planting. And so it was really good, really cool, really exciting. And thank you for your prayers, those of you that didn't know that I was there. I know I put it out in a newsletter. It was a little bit indirect in my newsletter because I don't like to tell a lot of people where I'm going before I go there, just to make sure that there's not problems with customs or with the authorities while I'm there. And but we met with some amazing people in Cambodia doing some amazing works, and I'd like to take a team back there someday. Maybe some of you can be a part of that team. Also in Vietnam, you know, it's just amazing to see how God moves. And this actually kind of fits in with today's message. You know, we're talking about the greatest sacrifice, and sometimes we have to sacrifice our plans for His plans. It's one of the things I'm going to talk about. And we have to be obedient, right? And so going into these trips, I didn't have a lot of things planned, not because I didn't try, not because I procrastinated, not because I was lazy and didn't do it, but because it's just hard to do. It's hard to create connections when you've never met someone. It's hard to create relationships. It's hard to find the right people when you're not on the ground. Finding people through the internet, especially in some of these closed nations, is hard to do because they don't want to be found. They don't want to. They're protecting their work, and so. But if God says to go do something, we have to be obedient to that. And so, going into Vietnam, we had one contact actually into Cambodia and into Vietnam. And just through talking with people, through that one contact, asking if he knew any other people, just seeing what God would do, you know, moving first in what we think is obedience to God's will, and then seeing what God does. And by the second day, we had met with the chairman of the Vietnamese Evangelical Alliance, and he oversees the entire nation of Vietnam. 40 different denominations, and we got to sit down and have coffee with him and talk about ways that we can plant churches and do more work there. And so it's just amazing how God works things out. And so please be praying about that. I hope to go back in the fall, both to Cambodia and to Vietnam, but it was exciting and good to be there, and it's good to be back home as well. So as Easter's approaching, you know, we talk a lot about what happens at Easter, about the cross, about the things that God did for us, about Jesus' sacrifice on the cross for us, for our sins. And we talk about, you know, His death, burial, and His resurrection. Today, you know, as I think about that, as we think about Easter coming up, and as we think about about our salvation. We take a moment to ponder and reflect on us. You know, I'm always reminded of the verse in Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 9. It says, "For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." And this verse always speaks so strongly to my heart, because we didn't have to become perfect before he would willingly sacrifice for us. And I've always struggled with that in my life when it comes to my own sacrifice for him. Because what is sacrifice? Sacrifice is when we give up something. Sometimes it's just to give it up, but a lot of times it's in hopes of getting something else or something better for our family, for our life, for the things that we're doing. And I think that we do have to sacrifice ourselves to him. You know, Jesus says in Matthew, let me just read the two main verses, Matthew 16. It says, "And Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit is a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul?" Here Jesus is saying, you got to take up your cross. You've got to give up your life. But here's the deal. If you will give up your life for his sake, you will find it. And the things that you give up, you're not giving up something good. You're giving up something that God knows ultimately isn't your best, to you can submit to him and have a better life and have a better future and have a better everything. Here, and we have to have right perspective when we're thinking about what sacrifice is. He's not asking us to live a miserable life. He's not asking us to never have any fun. God's not asking us to give up everything that we think is, well, maybe he's asking us to give up everything that we think is fun, but only so he can help us to exchange that for something better. Here, Jesus says that if you lose your life, for whoever desires to save his life will lose, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. How many of you want more life? How many of you want more of God's type of life in your life? How many of you want to live the God type of life Monday morning when you get up and you're tired and you don't want to go work and it's Monday and you've got the Monday blues? How many of you want to live God's kind of life? The way to do that is you have to give up your life, your will, your desire, and accept his. And then God's going to exalt you. But the thing that we have to understand is that we have to have a right perspective, because when we think that God is just trying to ask, he's just asking us to give up something just to give it up, just because we need to, in order to be holy, we can't have fun. In order to be holy or to please God, we can't, you know. No, that's not the case. God is always talking about giving us peace and joy and happiness and life more abundantly. This is the way that he wants to take us, but because we don't have right perspective about sacrifice, sometimes we end up fighting against him. Not sometimes, a lot of times, if you're like me, a lot of times we end up fighting against him because we don't want to sacrifice, because that word has this negative connotation to it. As soon as you say, hey, I want you to sacrifice coffee, oh my goodness, sacrifice. It becomes this big deal because of the way that we think about the word sacrifice. So I want to challenge you about how you perceive sacrifice. Think of it like this. He's asking you to give something up in order to give you something better. Everybody's praying, I want a better life. I want a better this. I want a better that. I wish I had more peace. I wish my life wasn't so chaotic. I wish whatever it is that you're wishing right now. The way to that, the pathway to that, is to follow him and allow him to remove some things from your life to give you the space for that thing. We got to be careful we don't get sidetracked, because it's really easy just to go down that road a little bit further. But Matthew 16, Jesus says that he asks us to deny ourselves. And that is the key to being able to live a life that is a sacrifice unto him, that is pleasing unto him. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Now, how do we do that? What's the key? What's one of the main keys of how we do that? He tells us in verse 2. He says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. He's asking us to exchange. It's a transaction. When you give up something, when God says, hey, I want you, I wrote a list, and I want you to think about this just for a second. God is trying to take you to a better place. In order to do that, he's saying, Paul's saying in Romans, and Jesus is saying in the book of John, in the book of Matthew, that you have to give up something. You have to sacrifice yourself. You have to say, okay, it's not what I want. It's not what I desire. But whatever you desire, Lord. And so let me ask you this. What are some of the things that you're praying to God about right now? What are you asking him for? What are your desires? Remember, we had the four D's of discipline. Can you remember them? I'm trying to think if I can remember them. I can. It's desire, it's determination, it's diligence, and then it is discipline, right? You got to start with desire. So what are your desires that you have right now that you're almost, maybe you're complaining to God about because that thing hasn't happened, or because that thing that you're wanting hasn't come true, or because your life isn't peaceful, it's full of chaos. Your life and chaos, it doesn't mean bad, like horrible things are happening to you. It can just be busy. It can be too busy, and you're always complaining that you don't have enough time to read the word, you don't have enough time to whatever because of this chaos. What is it that you're asking God, that you're complaining to God about, that you wish you had more of? Let me tell you this, following God is not hard, but at the same time, it's not easy. It's hard to sacrifice things. But in order to get to the place where we're saying that we want to go, it's mandatory. It's necessary. And it's not, we have to remember this. And this is the main theme of this morning. Remember having right perspective. Remember that you've got to view this in the way that is accurate. The devil's trick is to get you to view God's word in a way that is inaccurate. In a way that is not right, it's not true, it's not just, it's not the way that, it's not a true representation of who he is. And he'll use the scriptures because he tempted Jesus with scriptures. And so we have to make sure that we have a right attitude. We could read this verse in Romans, talk about, oh, presenting our bodies as a living sacrifice. Oh my gosh, sacrifice this, sacrifice that. No, it's an opportunity for me to take a little bit of my old self, right? The old man. Paul says, hey, the old man was crucified with Christ. But some of us are still carrying around those old habits and character that came with that old man. And what God's saying is, hey, we want you to sacrifice. We want you to sacrifice by giving up this part of the old version of you so that you can walk in newness of life, so you can walk in more peace, in more joy, in more prosperity, in more anointing, in all these things that you're probably saying that you want, but you don't have it yet. And so, what would happen if this is just natural, right? What would happen if you would sacrifice sleep in order to exercise? You would probably become more healthy. Most people want to become more healthy. Most people want to lose weight, want to gain muscle, want to be more physically fit, want to have more energy instead of reaching for the coffee or the energy drink. I met a guy once, I had a friend, and my heart went out to him because he would drink 6 Red Bulls in a day because he couldn't function without it. Well, what if he would sacrifice those things because they're not good for you? What if he would sacrifice some sleep for some exercise? There would be good fruit that would come from that. What would happen if you'd sacrifice going out to eat dinner in order to save money. Well, there would be so many things that would be benefit your life in there. You'd have more money, you would have possibly time with your family to make a meal, you'd be eating better food, you'd be being more healthy, but you know what? You're gonna have to sacrifice. What would happen if you sacrifice your desire this is the tough one for me. At the end of the day, my desire is to just relax and not do anything, eat, watch TV, sit around, be lazy. It's been a long day. That's not a bad thing to want that. But what if I would sacrifice that to do something that or to take one step to do the D of diligence, to do one thing that puts me closer to my goals? There is going to be a result. What I'm trying to say is, God's not just saying sacrifice, give up all these things, and then that's where it ends. Because that's not where it ends. That's just the beginning. That's just you. That's the beginning and the start of you saying to God, I want to go on this journey with you. I want to go down this pathway with you, God. I want to see where you're going to take me. I want to see what's going to be put in this space that I'm now eliminating this other thing, that I'm sacrificing this other thing. Remember, everything that we do is a response to God and a response to God's love. We love him because he first loved us. That's 1 John 4:19. We love him because he first loved us. And listen, we sacrifice for him because he first sacrificed for us. He paid the ultimate sacrifice in giving his son so that we could have life. And he's asked us to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, not as a dead one. You think about the Old Testament, sacrifices had to be killed and had to be put on the altar. We're living sacrifices. We get to live. And people have this perspective about Christians that if you're going to be a Christian, you can't live and you can't have fun. You can't do this and you can't do that. We need to stop thinking about all the things that we can't do, cannot do, and start thinking about all the things that we can do. Most people wish they had a different life, but they're not willing to take those few steps and sacrifice to get the thing that they're saying that they want. What would happen if you sacrifice your time to read the word? Your life would become increasingly better. What would happen if these are not so much physical, more in the soulish realm? What would happen if you learn to forgive and let injustices against you, just let them go? Lay that down. What would happen if you sacrificed that? Because this is what God wants to do. He wants to get the things removed from your life, the things that are stealing your joy and your peace and your happiness. He's not trying to make you miserable. He's trying to build your life better. He's trying to give you life and life more abundantly. He's trying to give you increase. What if we see, but in order to do that, we have to exchange the way that we view things. We have to accept the fact that God's ways are higher than our ways. And this is why we have to read the Bible. We have to renew our mind so that when we renew our mind, we're not going to be conformed to the world. We're not going to act like the world. In fact, we're going to start to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. We're going to start seeing things God's way. We're going to start seeing the view of the world through God's view and through what God has desired for the people that you need to forgive, or for the people that you need to pray for, or for the situations that aren't going in your favor, that God is in control, and we're going to lay that down. God says, cast all your cares to him. And that's a hard thing to do, and really that's sacrifice. Don't worry. Oh, I love to worry. God said, hey, would you sacrifice worrying so you can come and have life more abundantly? These are the things he's asking you to sacrifice. Some of the things that you're doing right now you think are fun, but I promise you, on the other side, oh, God's way is so much better. And so why is it that God says in Romans chapter 12 that we are to present our bodies as a living sacrifice? Then he says that we're to be conformed. We're not to be conformed to this world, but be transformed. And how are we going to be transformed? But by the renewing of our mind. And here's an interesting verse that a couple of verses that I find interesting. 3 John chapter 1, verse 2, it says, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers." A lot of people are praying for prosperity and for health and for all these things, but I have to question you and ask you, how much is your soul prospering? How much is your mind, will, and emotions? What is the emotional health of your soul right now? And I mean, I know that's a real big buzzword, like emotional health and all this, and it's good. I'm not going to say it's not good, but we can't put our focus on that, because man's solutions are not God's solutions. But this verse is saying, hey, he prays that you would prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. Listen, this is the way that it works. We're born again and our spirit becomes new, and his Holy Spirit begins to live in our spirit. The Spirit of God is living on the inside of us. And then we begin to renew our mind. We say, hey, I don't want to be like the world anymore. I don't want to conform to the world. I want to be transformed. How? By the renewing of my mind. By the renewing of my mind, so that I can be more like Christ. And when we do that, when our soul begins to change, when our soul begins to be transformed, we begin to make different decisions, because we're making decisions from the perspective of what God wants for our life. And we're able to see that God has a good plan for us, and he wants us to be in a good place. But it's hard, because we gotta stop doing some of these things. We gotta get rid of some of that old junk that we hold on to, that's so easy to hold on to. And we need to create right thinking in our mind. As our soul begins to prosper, what happens? Then that transfers over into our physical body prospering, being in health. It's an inside, it's a work that starts in the inside. And it goes to the outside. And if you're saying in your physical world, you're not living an abundant life, or a life more abundantly, or a good life even, or a life of peace, or if you're lacking in some of these things, the key to that, you've got everything that you need. The books of Peter talks about how we have everything that we need. God's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. It's in there. It's not something out there that we have to try and get God to get to us or to give to us. We're not trying to get God to give us anything. He's already given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. And what we need to do is we need to sacrifice something. And that thing that we have to sacrifice is the hardest thing to sacrifice. I'm not going to deny it. It is the hardest thing to sacrifice. And that is our will and our desires. Because it's our will. Our desire is to be angry. Our desire is to not have to do the difficult thing. Our desire is to be lazy. Our desire is to eat. Oh, my desire is to eat McDonald's every day. Fast food every day. Love it. But am I willing to give up my desires in exchange for something better? Jesus, in the Garden of Gethsemane, he prayed all night. And that prayer was about exchanging his will for the will of the Father. He had to sacrifice. You see, we're never going to get to our life, the physical side of our life, prospering without our soul first learning how to prosper and be in health. And if we aren't able to do that, you know, we're missing. We're trying to get something. We're trying to get results, while we're also cutting out so many of the steps in the process. And that's just not the way it works. That's not the way anything in life works. You don't build a house without a foundation. You've got to go through the steps and the processes, so in the end you can have an amazing house. And so this is what you do, okay? You need to do what Jesus did. He had to give up his will. He had to give up his desires. See, your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. He had an emotional attachment to the disciples. He didn't want to go to the cross. He said, "Father, if there is any other way, please let this cup pass from me. Please, if there's any other way, let it be that way, but not this way." But in the end, he said, "Not my will, but your will be done." Listen, the way of not forgiving is not his way. It's hard, but it's not his way. The way of not worrying about your situation, your life, your finances, it's not his way. It's our way. It's man's way. It's not easy. It's hard. The way that we do it is this. Hebrews chapter 4 says that the word of God is living and is powerful. And it's so, that two-edged sword is so sharp, it's able to divide spirit and soul. And this is where I think Christians have a hard time sometimes. We think that everything that comes into our mind is either from the soul, from our natural self, you know, or some things that are just blatantly the Bible, well, that's spiritual. And listen, we have a spirit and we have a soul. Some things, some of the ideas we get, some of the voices, I want to say voices, it's not real voices in our head, but some of the inner dialogue and stuff, a lot of that's coming from our spirit, but we don't know what's coming from our spirit, what's coming from our soul. And if our soul hasn't been renewed, if we haven't renewed our mind, and we don't know up here, if there hasn't been that maturity happening, sometimes we can get confused because we feel, and that, man, teaching on the Holy Spirit and his leading is a very fun subject, but it is a feeling and a sensing, but we have to get better at that. We have to hone in our skills of how to know when this is the Holy Spirit leading us this way or when this is our flesh, and learn that what the voice of the flesh sounds like. Learn what the voice of laziness sounds like. Learn what the voice of bitterness sounds like. I'm talking from experience. And then when that happens, we can do what God told us to do. And 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 through 6, it says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal." Sometimes we're fighting a battle in a realm that is not our battlefield. And we're never winning. And we don't know why. And I'm going to tell you, one of the reasons why is because we're not willing to sacrifice. Because we have this, that word has this meaning of being miserable. And that's not always the case. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. When we begin to read the word, we begin to be able to separate out, well, this is coming from God, this is not coming from God. This is what God says, this is what God looks like, this is what a life that's following God looks like, this isn't. We get better at listening to our spirit. And then what happens is when a thought comes in that isn't from God, that is against Christ, we cast it down. We're able to pull that stronghold down, because really, that is the stronghold in our life. Most of the time, it's wrong thinking. It's wrong perspective. It's having a wrong, a wrong mentality about things. And it's so easy to have that when it comes to sacrificing. And God doesn't want us to. We need to take the negative connotation or the negative feeling that comes with the word sacrifice and remove it and put a positive one on there. Because the things Jesus said, he talks about being pruned so that we can bear more fruit. You know, we have to allow some things to be removed from our life. Because if we don't, as we know, we look at the plants, we look at trees, when things get pruned, they produce more fruit. We have to allow that purging and that pruning to happen in our life. Why? So that we can bear more fruit. So the church can be a stronger light in the community. So that we can have greater influence. So that we can live in peace. inside. You have to live in peace inside, inwardly, before you can live in peace outwardly. God loves you so much. He does not want you to struggle, but it is a struggle. But as we learn how to follow Him, how to sacrifice, the greatest sacrifice is obviously Jesus on the cross. But in order for that to happen, He had to do the greatest personal sacrifice, which is allowing His will to be submitted to God's. And when you can do that, you don't have to be perfect, but do it as much as you can. When you can do that, you come to a place of that. You're going to live a better life. You're going to live a life more abundantly. And you're going to live a fuller life. A fuller life that God wants you to live. I love you guys. Think about these things this week. Pray about them. Ask the Holy Spirit to speak to your heart. And I believe it'll bring forth good change. Sacrificing isn't difficult. It's giving you the things that you're saying that you want. It just doesn't come in the way that we think it's going to come. But that's okay, because His ways are higher than our ways. Just don't forget that. Love you guys. Have an awesome week. We'll see you next month.